Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When you give to your church, do you wish you could attach strings to your dollars and control where they go? Today, why letting God supervise the use of the money we give creates a strong base for the many outreaches that our churches accomplish. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we conclude a series on investing for eternity. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as Erwin Lutzer wraps up a message on believing in the harvest, talking about those who give with strings attached.
When you look at an offering envelope, and I expected to have one up here today, but I didn't have ours. Ours was put into the offering basket a little while ago. But you'll see on it things like general fund, and then under that you have missions and a number of different categories. You know, there are some people who say this. They say, I will give. I will give to the orphans. I will give to the missionaries. But I'll never give to that general fund, because that general fund, it keeps the lights on, it pays salaries, and I don't want my money to go to something that mundane. I want it to go to the missionaries, to the orphans. I'll give to them, but I won't give to the church. I smile when I hear that. You know, that's like saying, you know, we have this tree that is bearing fruit, and I am willing to pay for someone to pick the fruit of the tree, but I will not give a dime to the root of the tree. I'm not going to give anything to it. Let it rot. All that I'm interested in is the fruit. My dear friend, you cannot have fruit unless you have a strong root. And the stronger the root, the more important it is to realize the more fruit that will be born. May I speak candidly? I will, whether you give me permission or not, by the way. May I speak candidly? Unless we have a strong home base, we can't have the ministries that we have. We won't be taking offerings for other kinds of ministries. The stronger the home base, the more we can branch out and bear fruit in many, many different ways. We have other ways that we have in mind to bear fruit, but our lack of funds hinder us. That's why when Rebecca and I fill out that offering card, that offering envelope, we always give the majority of our money to the general fund. It's the engine that keeps everything else going. Well, the Apostle Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound. It isn't just for the poor saints in Jerusalem. It's for the saints in Chicago, in our instance, and the ministries that God has given us. Now, we must understand that cheerful giving, brings about a blessed life. That's what the text says, and we have to believe the text. In another country, in a third world country, true story that I read, a man went into a hut and took a large bowl of rice. Actually, I must correct it. I think it was a large bowl of corn. And he took the corn with him out to the field and began to plant it. He began to plant it in the dirt, obviously, in the ground. And his little daughter, who was 5 or 6 years old, actually began to cry, because she knew how poor the family was. And her big question was, why would Daddy take corn that might feed us for several days? Why would Daddy take corn and put it in the ground? That seemed to be very, very unwise. Well, the answer to the question, of course, is her daddy put it in the ground because he believed in the harvest. He could have chosen to take that bowl of corn and use it for lunch and for dinner that week. But then there'd be no harvest. And there are times when you have to simply believe in the harvest and you plant And you plant in faith because you believe in the harvest that God is able to make all grace abound. I don't know how God can take the wishes of a six-year-old boy who's making some play money during an offering time, wishing he could give it to the children that adds up to more than $3,000. I don't know how God can take that and then later on his mother, weeks later, receives checks the same day that match exactly the total. I don't know how that works, but the text says God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I'd say that's quite a blessing to cheerful givers. And there's the promise right there. My wife and I know some missionaries very well because he actually served with me on a staff at a church, not this church, but a previous one. And they were missionaries in Argentina and then in the Middle East. And they told us a very interesting story about money. Now, you know, missionaries have very little to go on. They decided that they would faithfully give a percentage of their money to the Lord's work, no matter how tough it got. But knowing that God sometimes leads us through money, they decided something else, that the fewer their funds, the worse it got, they would give a higher percentage to God. See, what they were doing is, it says in the book of Malachi, God says, test me. Now, you're not supposed to test God. Only once in the Bible does it say, test me. And that had to do with money. God says, you bring the tithes into the storehouse and then see whether or not I'm not going to open the heavens and bless you. Now, those Old Testament promises, of course, the tithe was required. Today, of course, there is no requirement. It is simply proportionate giving based on cheerfulness. But they decided to test God. And whenever things got tough, what they would do is they would give more, a greater percentage of what they had. A number of years ago, we were in Regina, Canada, visiting. And we were in their home, catch this now, that they now own, that's fully paid for. How many of us have homes that are fully paid for? Probably not very many of us. We're all making mortgage payments. I remember sitting there listening on how it happened. This happened, that happened, then this fell into place. It was like a chess game. I don't know how God did it, but the text says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work if you are a cheerful giver. And they were, and they proved God in their need that God actually responds to cheerful givers and blesses them. Now, I'm not saying that that'll happen to you or to me. And that every time we give, remember, we're not saying that you get back monetarily what you've given. I do say, though, that if you give cheerfully, God will bless you. There are marriages that are in trouble today because the couple does not give. And they do not give with any cheerfulness. And so there's no abounding grace in their relationship. God is able to make all grace abound. Something else that's very critical about this passage is that the motivation of cheerful giving is God's gift to us. Notice it says, the grace of God, and then it says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What makes believers in Corinth generous to Jewish believers in Jerusalem? Bottom line, having been radically blessed by God, having been radically loved by God, these believers in turn love. It opens the floodgates of their hearts towards those who are in need because they are now loved of God, and therefore they love. We love him because he first loved us. They've experienced the grace of God, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, because they've received his inexpressible gift. And when we do, we become givers, cheerful givers. In a few moments, we're going to be remembering our Lord's death. And I do need to say that there are some of you here who are here today who, when the offering baskets are passed, you shouldn't give. And I'll tell you why, because you may think that somehow you can get on God's good side, or you can rectify your relationship with God. If you're not a believer in Jesus, if you've not received his inexpressible gift, don't give. It could confuse matters for you. But if you've received that gift, let us be cheerful givers. Now you can understand why Rebecca and I had a talk about how we can give more this year than last. But we're going to be having communion. We're going to be passing the elements, and the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread represents his body. This is a reminder of this inexpressible gift. And we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and grace and abounding grace toward us, grace greater than our sins. And because of that, we are going to be givers. And we're going to give back to you in thanksgiving and praise. And in whatever way you speak to us, your bountiful love and grace. Having been radically loved, we radically love and give. Join me as we pray. Our Father, we ask today in Jesus' name that you will help all of us to answer the question of what would you have us to do with what you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity of what we can call investing for eternity. But Father, we've come now because we want to come to your table. We want to be reminded of the grace that you've given to us. And therefore we pray that these moments shall be holy moments in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My friend, I ended this message and this series of messages on a very important note. The reason that we are generous people is because Jesus Christ was generous with us, shedding his blood on the cross on behalf of our sins, taking our punishment that we might be reconciled to God. That's the message that you and I need to hear and need to share with others. And thank you so much for all of your help in being able to spread that message. During these times of financial need, let us make sure that we invest in those ministries that will help the good news of the gospel to go to as many places as possible. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time right here on this station on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer concluding Believing in the Harvest, the last message in a series on investing for eternity. Wayward Kids, a heavy burden for many parents. Next time on Running to Win, join us for a series on two prodigal sons. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.